I'm going to move along now from the issues that we had spoken of relative to the kingdom of God, because we could, of course, become quite bogged down in that incessantly and just go many, many weeks exploring that subject. And I don't think we want to do that. I think we've only tried to indicate to you the fact that it is basically a simple subject that has perhaps been made very complex, and we want to try to simplify things on the thesis that, after all, what God wants us to know has got to be fairly simple, not to say that you people are simple-minded, but rather to say that universally people are not all that given to technical matters. You know, if being a Christian requires a very complex amount of theological understanding, then it's out of reach for a large number of people. We've tried to simplify things and show you that there is a spirit realm that God totally controls. That is to say that the ultimate end of all things is in God's hands, and that he never lets Satan go beyond what he regards as the appropriate bounds in any area. On earth, it sometimes seems that he has allowed Satan to get at us beyond our capacity to bear it. But you must realize that while it may be beyond the capacity of your physical or psychical person to accept it or go graciously through it, it is not beyond us ever, in that it doesn't destroy the spirit. So Satan cannot get to that. So your spirit remains protected within the realm of God's power, even though in the natural, the flesh, we may not feel that we're secure. We may not feel that we have overcome in a certain area. The body is one thing and the spirit is another, as we shall see as we go along today. God does have a realm, and his realm is the spirit, and Satan is not ever able to control that, but he does reign over certain aspects of the earthly kingdom, the world. He does have a considerable amount of power to badger you and cause you distress in this world. Ultimate end of things, however, is in God's hands, both heaven and earth. Heavenly kingdom is one thing that is obviously in God's control, but now Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that also ultimately the earthly matters will be under his control. So actually, you can be at peace about this, that it will come out all right. You may go limping into the kingdom or into glory, but it's going to come out all right. We like a story that ends well. We, in today's cultural morass, not all stories end well. But God's glory will prevail, and the ending will be all right. The Spirit is going to prevail, and that's what we're really focusing on here. Now, we come to the issue, then, of the nature of ourselves as persons. What are we as persons? It's well to understand the nature of a thing if you're going to maintain it. If you have no concept whatever of the nature of an automobile, for example, you may not care for it properly. If you have someone you can trust, that you can leave the total care to them, you're fortunate. But even the idea in an automobile, for example, that occasionally it needs to go in and be filled with gasoline is a handy bit of knowledge. But more importantly, in our work, we don't get very far away from the gas stations. You know, we travel a considerable amount of miles, and we're always back at the pumps. But then there are things like the lubrication system, you see. And if people don't understand that there is friction involved in an automobile engine, they may not understand that it's essential to get it properly, keep it properly lubricated. I go into that as a good analogy of the fact that if you don't understand the nature of persons, if you don't understand the nature of yourself, you're going to make mistakes in taking care of yourself that will be costly. That is why it's important to understand that we are a composite of both physical and psychical or mental and spiritual. Now that brings us to the passage that we have today in 1 Corinthians 15, which goes into the nature of persons. We are bringing a book out that will include some ideas on the nature of persons that will be helpful to you, I think. But let's look at this passage, verse 35. But one will say, how are the dead raised? With what sort of body do they come? Senseless one. Now, what he really means here is not that the question is a dumb question. He just means that a person isn't sensitive to the truth of the matter. What you sow does not come to life except it die. And what you sow is not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be of wheat or some other, or of some of the rest. But God gives to it a body even as He has willed, and to each one of the seeds its own body. Now, the most essential issue to understand here is that your body, your earthly body, is a seed. It's not what you are now as a body, physiologically, that is the ultimate end of the matter. You're a seed. The earth is a seed bed. If you plant seeds in your garden, you don't plant it there as a reservoir or a treasury house of seeds. You don't dig the seed up a few months later and hope that it's kind of ripened in the ground and will be more flavorful because you've left it in the ground. Now, we eat seeds. We have learned to do that, and I suppose that's not amiss. Birds eat seeds. I'm sure that might be a reason that I would feel I wouldn't eat them. I'm not the greatest champion of our feathered friends because they're hard on automobile finishes. I'm more oriented to automobiles than I am to birds. Birds thrive on seeds, but we do too, in a sense. You know, some of the grains we eat are really actually seeds, of course. You know, we ate a bowl of cereal this morning, and obviously that bowl of cereal was a bowl of seeds. Well, that has its particular purpose. But Paul is, in effect, giving a broader principle that primarily you plant a seed in the ground expecting that something altogether different will come up. And you put a seed, which is really maybe quite ugly, in the ground, and out of it comes a very beautiful flower. We have no thought when you put the seed in the ground that it looks anything like the flower that's going to come. Now, when we look at our lives on the earth, our physical bodies, our persons here, we need to understand that the ultimate end of ourselves is as much more glorious than what we are now as the flower is more glorious than the seed. Now, that helps to understand the nature of persons. Now, if you have a gardener who is going to plant a garden, and he decides that he's got to be a home gardener, not a professional, but let's say this gardener looks at this beautiful sack of seeds he's got, and he looks at that ugly old ground, and he says, boy, I sure hate to think of that nice seed sitting down in that dirt. What I'll do is just sow it here on this brick patio, and then it'll keep clean. The seeds will keep clean for me. Now, you're going to only be food for the birds, you know that. So it's nothing. It's not going to do anything. The more you would attempt to preserve the seed, the more you would fail to develop what its ultimate purpose is. So the seed goes into the ground, and if you were to dig it up a few days later, you would feel it was terrible. The shell is kind of rotting away, the outer covering of it, the avril. Something is happening there that is quite different than when you first planted it. Now, Paul gives us the right to make such an analogy, and we will make it. It'll help us to understand the nature of persons and the nature of life. Because this physical person of ours is like the seed, whose chief end is not to be preserved in its pristine glory, but to change. And the change requires often a destruction of the original substance. Now you will find, if you were to dig up the seeds, that there may be quite a variable in terms of what they each may look like in their various states of decomposure. And you look around at persons and you find the same thing. And maybe the closer the seed is to its ultimate glory, the more ugly it looks. There might be an inverse proportion there. It may be in terms of human lives that the closer we are to what God wants for our spirits, the less we may be attractive in terms of what we are on the earth. The less focus we place on carefully cultivating the externals, you see, and on preserving untouched our milieu, with everything in a neat package and everything functioning so that people can look at us and say, my, what a clever person. My, how well they have developed their career and so on and so on. See? That's, of course, what we want. None of us like people to look at us and say, boy, they're sure a mess. We like people to look at us and say, boy, aren't they really clever? My, what a wonderful person that is, because they're just doing everything so well. Something to think about. In a certain sense, the closer you get to the sense of what the truth of life is, the closer you get to that, the more out of joint you will probably be with the smooth flow of an earthly milieu. The less you will probably feel that all the pieces are together. Certainly, the more frustrated you will be. As I've said before, the most frustrating thing in this world is to have a certain sense of human possibilities and perfections and yet to always keep missing it. If you've ever been in construction work, for example, you know what it is to leave a tool home or to get the wrong size of something or to forget to buy something at the store, the hardware you were supposed to get, or to cut a piece off a little short, especially if it's very fine material, metal or wood. But I think that I would not be stepping on any toes here today to say that even accomplished, skilled craftsmen make mistakes. And the more skilled you are, and the more experienced you are, the more frustrating the mistakes. I worked for a glass company, among many different kinds of things. Cut glass, cut mirrors, and tabletops, and made mirrors, and all this kind of stuff. So I did quite a lot of work with it. As I was, the more I worked with cutting tops, the more it was a challenge to see how accurately I could cut them, you know. So if you get a very unusual shape of a kidney top or a desktop or something, and you're trying to, and you get a little nook and corner here and there, and you're trying to really do the job. And the owner of the organization had to say to me once, look, you're not working with paper, you know. So the higher your standards become, the more you expect of yourself, the more you demand of yourself. Same is true in this human person, where coming to understand the flawed nature of persons is part of the task, is part of what it's all about, that we are just seedy, and that the real thing is what evolves out of the seed. The outer covering is nothing. Do you realize what a hope that is, or what a wonderful thing it is to be able to go to somebody whose life is shot or in disarray and know that it's only the externals that are the problem, that the inner spirit is secure? We were this week up in Santa Barbara with a young man who had an accident and suffered brainstem damage. And I was there Wednesday visiting with the parents, a boy, a young man, he's 15. He's in a semi-comatose condition, has been for some time. To the average person, looking at the seed as the end of all, this is a hopeless tragedy. Obviously, it's a tragedy. But how hopeless is it? What if he were not to come out of the comatose state? In one sense, of course, it would be very heartbreaking. But to be able to comfort those parents with the knowledge that whatever happens to the external factors here, his spirit, the young man's spirit, is as much alive and as much in God's eyes being perfected as anyone. In time, and not too long a time, this life is over. And all that has happened to the seed covering, you see, all that has happened to the original body or circumstances is going to be shuffled off. And only one thing remains as valid. Only one thing. Where's the flower? If all you are is a root, you'll get eaten. People put all their life into the root. Maybe don't come out so well in the end. The point is that whatever your life is now, if you want to know how to run the automobile, that if you want to know how to maintain your vessel properly, recognize it isn't how much polish you put on the outer finish, but how much oil you put in the engine. Keep the inner man, for out of it are the issues of life. That's what Paul says. Keep the inner spirit. We are told that we are both a psychical person and an earthly person. He says that not all flesh is the same flesh. There's one of men, and there's another of beasts, another of birds, another of fish. There is a heavenly body and an earthly body. Now, the heavenly body means a spiritual body. The Greek word epiranios has to do with the spirit realm, not heaven as a place, but heaven as a realm compared to the material realm. It's the non-material versus the material realm. The glory of the heavenly or the spiritual is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. One glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another in glory. So we understand all the variables. There are variables in the earthly situation. Some people seem to live gloriously. Some people seem to live ingloriously. So here is a young man lying in a semi-comatose condition for how long, only God knows. And here are young men that are out running about with perfect health and vitality and vigor, and it's not in any way related to what they were doing. The young man in the accident was not in an accident because of any kind of illicit activities. There was no drug involved or drink or any of those things. He's just a nice young man. And yet here are young people that are into all kinds of hell-raising and whatever, and they're just going along, you know, sweet and lovely. People that have money often misuse it. The people who seem to be fortunate abuse that good fortune or are not, in our minds, worthy of it. I remember on the ranch that I worked at for a while, one of my cellmates was pretty much of a boozer. First thing he got his eyes open in the morning, he had to have his drink. You know, he kept his booze right by the bed. You know, he'd come in late at night, red-faced and staggering and everything else. He maintained, as a lot of these kind of people do, you know, he was able to maintain. You can't understand how he did it, but he did. But anyway, this fellow, single, a boozer, And he's doing all that stuff. Now, we had a wine and harvest festival there each year, and they raffled off an automobile. This fellow went out and won this brand new automobile in the raffle. I mean, good grief, around that part of the world, there are an awful lot of families that could have used that automobile, I'll tell you that. You could even use it to live in. They didn't have a house, you know. Not only did this fellow win the automobile, he went out twice in the same year and totaled it because he was drunk. Now you tell me there's some equity to the world? There's no equity in this world. There's no fairness. Nothing's fair. Only one place where there's equity or equality is in the Spirit. God sorts out the sheep and the goats. There are no winners among the goats in heaven, I'll tell you that. That is, in the judgment. But everyone, whether they were a loser on earth or a winner, whose spirit is with Christ or belongs to Christ, will be a winner. You may have been a loser all your life. We know people who all their life have had struggles of one kind or another, always been broke. Maybe part of it is their own fault. But a lot of times it isn't. A lot of times, and I was reading about a certain business in the Wall Street Journal. Corporation, a small one, but they were going through the history of its final demise. It went bankrupt. But, you know, they did everything right and honorably and did their best to maintain things. But just things that happened... timing and so forth conspired, and they went broke. There are a lot of people in the world that are hardworking, honest, capable people whose fortunes go awry. So we know that without laboring a point that there is no fairness or equality as such, and there are no guarantees in this world. None. There's no guarantees whatever. However healthy you are, however unhealthy, you and I all know that people may live on the edge of the grave for 60 years and outlast people that were in marvelous health. We know how that goes. The same thing with dissipation. You got some old guy that said his secret to living until he was 90 years old is he took a fifth of whiskey every day. You know, well, but you know, there are people, they've smoked cigarettes all their life and they have a healthy set of lungs, or at least they survive. I don't know how healthy the lungs are. All these things. Yeah, we know all that. We know all of that. There are no guarantees, whatever. Except one. There is one guarantee in all the universe, and that is, if you put your trust in Christ, your spirit is preserved. In the end, the flower comes out of the ground and is beautiful and magnificent, and the seed dies. Here is the nature of persons. The nature of persons is that whatever your earthly milieu is, whatever your earthly situation, it is only part of the seed, and that the ultimate end is to cultivate not the shell of the seed, but the inner essence of the seed, that it may become a flower. If you look at your life right now and you are dissatisfied with it and you feel you're not getting your share, or that things are not going well for you, and that therefore the Lord is not helping you and so on, stop and realize that His help is best when it focuses on the cultivation of what you really are as a person. And what you are as a person has little to do with that seed that you're living in. If you are a seed now, which we all are, it has little resemblance to the flower that's coming forth later. And the thing that guarantees that there's still life there to bring forth the bloom is, that is, that assures you that the seed is still alive, or the conditions of growth are still available, is the fact that you do constantly stay with Christ and accept Him in your life, or care about Him, even though everything seems to be falling apart. you are still kept pressed to Him, and you still are concerned about Him, even though you may think life's a raw deal for you, or things are just too tough and it indicates the Lord isn't with you, but you stay in there anyway. That's because that Spirit is alive in you. Just as the seed, no matter what conditions are given it that are rough, still keeps growing up. You put water on it, you make a mud hole for it, and you do all these things, and the seed still keeps growing. And one day it comes to the earth and grass or flower. It is not necessarily going to look like anything all the time you're on the earth. And sometimes the things that are most rapidly blooming are the most easily disintegrated. Like a yucca that'll grow a foot and a half a night, you know, and all of a sudden you go out there and here's a yucca. Well, a yucca's really only a blossom, you know. That old thing goes out and shoots for the sky, and you pass through the desert regions where the yuccas are in bloom, and it's just glorious. They're marvelous. But it doesn't take many weeks before the whole thing is a wilderness of dead wood. It may not be ever, it may not be on this earth, but you will look like anything. The ultimate, which is an eternal thing. That's what we're after, is the ultimate. So just trust Christ to do with your life whatever He has to. Put it in His hands. There will be the greatest maintenance organization in the world. If you want a health maintenance organization, Christ is your greatest health, spiritual health maintenance organization. Because He'll see to it that the conditions are such that you are maintained. But it may not feel good to you. If you get your wheels aligned and they get there and they wrench it and pull it and all these things to get that lined up, they have to do it to line the wheels up. But the car may not feel so good while it's being done. But they're getting it lined up. They bang on it and put a wrench on it and screw and twist and everything else. That doesn't feel very good. Or all that gunky oil coming in on your head. But the car is maintained. If you let the Lord go ahead and do in your life what He has to, and just be at peace about it, He'll bring forth the growth of the thing He wants from you.